us draw near with sincere hearts, to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
First reading in the Festival of the Revelation is from the Revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John in the 14th chapter. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead, with an eternal gospel proclaimed to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the third chapter. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he may be just and a justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Then what becomes of our boasting? Is it excluded? By what kind of law? By the law of works? No, by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
having heard the word, what do you believe? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. From God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is the gospel reading, especially these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Thus far the text. Jesus comes to set people free. He comes to set people free. And he makes this clear right from the very beginning. Do you remember the first sermon that Jesus preached? It was in his hometown of Nazareth in the synagogue, and he picks up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and reads these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, He has sent me to set at liberty the oppressed. These verses set the agenda for his entire ministry. From this sermon, straight through his cross, all the way to his ascension, freedom serves as the main theme of Jesus. Just why has Jesus come? He has come to make an emancipation proclamation. He has come to set people free. Now, some people realize they're in bondage, like the crowds who flock to Jesus. The sick, the demon-possessed, the epileptics, they know about oppression. The blind and the lame, they know too, their disabilities have held them captive. And the fear of death enslaves those whose loved ones are dying. All of these people, those who are sick, those who have family members who are dying, all of them seek out Jesus, and so do many others. They seek him out, and he gladly sets them free. He rebukes fevers. He restores sight. He even raises the dead. But what about those who don't know that they're in bondage? What about those who can't see or feel their chains? What about those so deceived they can't tell the difference between captivity and real freedom? Or as we hear in John 8, what about the Jews who had believed in Jesus? Jesus said to them, "If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus proclaims liberty through his word. He announces freedom to all those who follow him. So what is it that makes people free? Work doesn't make free. Money doesn't make free. The law doesn't make free. Spirituality doesn't make free. And as Martin Luther so clearly saw at the start of the Reformation, indulgences don't make free. The truth, Jesus says, the truth will set you free. And yet these Jews don't get it. They answer Jesus, "We're descendants of Abraham. We've never been enslaved by anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" They don't get it. Do you? For them, slavery means being back in Egypt. It means being under the thumb of Pharaoh. It means forced labor and making bricks without straw. It means families being brutally torn apart. It means suffering and dying at the hands of an oppressor. I suspect that we have similar images of slavery. Chains, cramped cargo holds, slave markets, plantations, whips, and endless labor. That's what we think of when we think of slavery. And that kind of bodily slavery is terrible, and that kind of bodily slavery has been terribly present around the world and throughout history. And we would be lying to ourselves if we thought that it didn't exist in places still today. But like you, the Jews had never been enslaved to anyone. They belonged to themselves. They took orders from no one. They could do whatever they wanted. And so to them, slavery was ancient history. Slavery was someone else's problem. Slavery was an issue in another place. But not there. Not for them. Not for you. Jesus has in mind something different. When he talks about slavery, he means something deeper. The world thinks of slavery only as something outside, something external. Jesus thinks of slavery from the inside. Not bodily slavery, but heart and soul slavery. The enslavement of our wills and our desires. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Jesus is saying that man is everywhere in the chains of sin. He isn't born free. By nature, sin enslaves our wishes and our desires. It enslaves our thoughts and our deeds. I cannot emphasize that strongly enough, that by nature, we are slaves. This is our inheritance. Before anyone can call Abraham their father, we must first acknowledge Adam as our father. His fall makes us fallen. As Psalm 51 says, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. As St. John writes in his first letter, if we say we have no sin, good for you. No, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But I know what they were thinking. Me? Enslaved? You've got to be kidding. I don't have it that bad. I mean, yes, I sin now and then once in a while, but it doesn't have me in its grip. It doesn't have me in chains. I could stop any time. Really, I could. I could just walk away. But could they? Could you? How would you escape your sin? How do you propose to do it? It's like an escape room with no exit. How would you slip away from the ugly roommate who lives inside? How would you escape from that dark shadow who always follows you? Martin Luther tried. He tried running away to a monastery. He tried hiding behind vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, hoping that might scare his sin away. But he didn't find freedom. He found even worse bondage. He couldn't leave his sinful nature at the door of his cell. It went with him everywhere he went. We think we're free, but we're not. We think we can make ourselves free, but we only make things worse. You can probably remember a time that happened. You did something wrong, and you came up with a great way of sort of covering it over, getting away from it. And in the end, it was worse. Sin enslaves. Some have even called sin an addiction, a habit that we can't kick. But don't take that as an excuse. It's not. Just because everyone's doing it doesn't make it okay. Just because we can't stop doesn't make it less serious. Jesus wants us to know that sin is a terrible master, and sin is deadly. The slave, he said, doesn't remain in the house forever. So do you understand how serious this condition is? Do you see how sin wishes to master you and to keep you in chains forever? But here comes Jesus. If you abide in my word, he says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The Son remains in the house forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. What beautiful words those are for those in bondage. How wonderful for those souls held captive. Jesus comes to set free, to set you free. He comes to be the Moses, the Wilberforce, the Lincoln of our souls, to liberate us from serving sin, to free us from receiving the wages of our sin, which is death, that we might be free indeed. Or perhaps we could say that we might be free in thought, word, and deed, free to live with him in the Father's house forever. The Jews said that they had never been enslaved to anyone, not recognizing their slavery to sin. They didn't get it. Only one man has ever been truly free, truly and totally free from sin and from the power of death. It wasn't Adam. It wasn't Abraham. It wasn't those Jews listening to Jesus, but it was our Lord himself. Unlike us, Jesus knew no sin. And he did what sin would never do. Sin is always about serving oneself, always turned in, like navel-gazing, thinking only of ourselves. But Jesus did what sin wouldn't do. He freely chose not to serve himself, but to obey his Father and to serve us. The Son came not to be served, Jesus says, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He handed his life over to bonds and whips. He handed his life over to oppression and injustice. He handed his life over to evil mobs and harsh rulers. He handed his life over to crucifixion and the grave. He offered himself as a slave in order to set the slaves free. Dear friends, the underground railroad for sinners runs straight through the cross, and it comes out at his grave. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, St. Paul says, and all are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Christ Jesus earned your freedom. He paid for it. Every last drop of blood that was required, he shed. So that now sin has no power to enslave you. Sin has no power to hold you. Sin has no power to order you around. Because sin itself is in chains. It follows his orders. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. If he says that you belong to him, then you are his. If he says that sin is over and done with, then it is over and done with. If he says that his Father's house has many rooms, then you've got a place forever. Through faith in Jesus, and by faith in Jesus, all of this is now yours. Believe it, and you have it. Freedom is his gift. A gift that he has presented to you in holy baptism, where you died to sin with Jesus and were raised to newness of life with him. A gift proclaimed to you in the absolution, for the Father has promised that he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A gift handed to you from this altar in holy communion, for the body and blood of Jesus is our Passover meal. It is food for ex-slaves on the way to the promised land. It is food for you. And all of this we receive by faith, trusting that what Jesus says is true, that he is our Lord, that he has paid every drop, that all is forgiven. The world doesn't understand the freedom we have in Jesus. The world would tell you that freedom is something different, that true freedom is to do whatever we want, to follow whatever we want, to define ourselves however we want, to create our own reality, our own meaning, our own identity, our own rules, apart from Jesus. We know the truth. Apart from Jesus and his word, there's no freedom. To follow our own desires, to create our own identity, to make up our own rules is not freedom. That is a return to slavery. Slavery to our sinful desires and our fallen freedom. We don't want that ball and chain around us now or ever again. The freedom we need isn't freedom to be our sinful selves. It is the freedom to be Christ's and to belong to him forever. Now, speaking about freedom is great. But I know that the reality on the ground is difficult. It's a daily struggle. Jesus didn't say that freedom would be easy. He didn't say that living in this freedom would be painless or without cost. He didn't say that sin would go quietly. When you've worn chains for so long, it feels strange to have them off. Freedom isn't natural yet. We're still learning how to be free. We're still learning what to do with this freedom. We're still learning how to live before God, free from guilt and condemnation. And we're still learning how to freely love and serve our neighbors. But this, dear friends, is the freedom of a Christian. And this is the freedom we have in Christ. We are free to live by faith in the Son forever. This freedom is yours. The freedom to live by faith in the Son forever. For freedom, Christ has set us free, St. Paul told the Christians in Galatia. Stand firm, therefore, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. May God grant that by grace, through faith, for the sake of Jesus Christ, we too would stand firm in this freedom, now and always. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy,
in your prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy,
in your prayer.
Strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Josie, Randy, Rosemarie, Nancy, Robert, John, Karen, Sherry, Ed, Alicia, Ted, Gwen, Anthony, Michelle, Stan, Matthew, Luann, Carol, and our homebound, Karen, Rick, and Andrea, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy,
in your prayer.
Grant us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Keep safe those who travel, especially our sister Anne.
Watch over and protect all expectant mothers and their children, especially Laura and Kay. Comfort those who have suffered miscarriage or infertility. Protect the weak and vulnerable, the elderly and the unborn. Thank you for hearing our prayers on behalf of Jack, Nancy, Lindsay, Paula, Mark, Sharon, and Craig and Sally, all of whom we now commit to your continued care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And lastly, O Heavenly Father, grant your comfort to those near death and your peace to those who grieve, especially to the family of Lucy Naylor. Deliver us, we pray, from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is his body and blood, as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our
Father,
who art
in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks,
he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Oh,
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Show us the Savior also in your word, that we might learn and do his will, that our lives might glorify the Father, and that through us, other beloved sinners might receive grace and life in your saving word. For you live and reign with the Father and the Son, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Unto you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you